5. Lessons from the Cross. The cross of Jesus portrays the full measure of the supreme devotion of the true shepherd for even the unworthy members of his flock. It forever places all relations between God and man upon the family basis. God is the Father, man is his Son. Love, the love of a father for his son, becomes the central truth in the universe relations of creator and creature, not the justice of a king, which seeks satisfaction in the sufferings and punishment of the evil-doing subject. The cross forever shows that the attitude of Jesus toward sinners was neither condemnation nor condonation, but rather eternal and loving salvation. Jesus is truly a Savior in the sense that his life and death do win men over to goodness and righteous survival. Jesus loves men so much that his love awakens the response of love in the human heart. Love is truly contagious and eternally creative. Jesus' death on the cross exemplifies a love which is sufficiently strong and divine to forgive sin and swallow up all evil doing. Jesus disclosed to this world a higher quality of righteousness than justice, mere technical right and wrong. Divine love does not merely forgive wrongs, it absorbs and actually destroys them. The forgiveness of love utterly transcends the forgiveness of mercy. Mercy sets the guilt of evil-doing to one side, but love destroys forever the sin and all weakness resulting therefrom. Jesus brought a new method of living to Urantia. He taught us not to resist evil, but to find through him a goodness which effectually destroys evil. The forgiveness of Jesus is not condonation, it is salvation from condemnation. Salvation does not slight wrongs, it makes them right. True love does not compromise nor condone hate, it destroys it. The love of Jesus is never satisfied with mere forgiveness. The Master's love implies rehabilitation, eternal survival. It is altogether proper to speak of salvation as redemption if you mean this eternal rehabilitation. Jesus, by the power of his personal love for men, could break the hold of sin and evil. He thereby set men free to choose better ways of living. Jesus portrayed a deliverance from the past, which in itself promised a triumph for the future. Forgiveness thus provided salvation. The beauty of divine love, once fully admitted to the human heart, forever destroys the charm of sin and the power of evil. The sufferings of Jesus were not confined to the crucifixion. In reality, Jesus of Nazareth spent upward of 25 years on the cross of a real and intense mortal existence. The real value of the cross consists in the fact that it was the supreme and final expression of his love, the completed revelation of his mercy. On millions of inhabited worlds, tens of trillions of evolving creatures who may have been tempted to give up the mortal struggle and abandon the good fight of faith have taken one more look at Jesus on the cross and then have forged on ahead, inspired by the sight of God's laying down his incarnate life in devotion to the unselfish service of man. The triumph of the death on the cross is all summed up in the spirit of Jesus' attitude toward those who assailed him. He made the cross an eternal symbol of the triumph of love over hate and the victory of truth over evil when he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That devotion of love was contagious throughout a vast universe. The disciples caught it from their master. The very first teacher of his gospel who was called upon to lay down his life in this service said, as they stoned him to death, "Lay not this sin to their charge." The cross makes a supreme appeal to the best in man because it discloses one who is willing to lay down his life in the service of his fellow men. Greater love no man can have than this, that he would be willing to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus had such a love that he was willing to lay down his life for his enemies, a love greater than any which had hitherto been known on earth. On other worlds, as well as on Urantia, the sublime spectacle of the death of the human Jesus on the cross of Golgotha has stirred the emotions of mortals, while it has aroused the highest devotion of the angels. The cross is that high symbol of sacred service, the devotion of one's life to the welfare and salvation of one's fellows. The cross is not the symbol of the sacrifice of the innocent Son of God in the place of guilty sinners and in order to appease the wrath of an offended God. But it does stand forever, on earth and throughout a vast universe, as a sacred symbol of the good bestowing themselves upon the evil and thereby saving them by this very devotion of love. The cross does stand as the token of the highest form of unselfish service, the supreme devotion of the full bestowal of a righteous life in the service of wholehearted ministry, even in death, the death of the cross. And the very sight of this great symbol of the bestowal life of Jesus truly inspires all of us to want to go and do likewise. When thinking men and women look upon Jesus as he offers up his life on the cross, they will hardly again permit themselves to complain at even the severest hardships of life, much less at petty harassments and their many purely fictitious grievances. His life was so glorious and his death so triumphant that we are all enticed to a willingness to share both. There is true drawing power in the whole bestowal of Michael, from the days of his youth to this overwhelming spectacle of his death on the cross. Make sure, then, that when you view the cross as a revelation of God, you do not look with the eyes of the primitive man, nor with the viewpoint of the later barbarian, both of whom regarded God as a relentless sovereign of stern justice and rigid law enforcement. Rather make sure that you see in the cross the final manifestation of the love and devotion of Jesus to his life mission of bestowal upon the mortal races of his vast universe. See in the death of the Son of Man the climax of the unfolding of the Father's divine love for his sons of the mortal spheres. The cross thus portrays the devotion of willing affection and the bestowal of voluntary salvation upon those who are willing to receive such gifts and devotion. There was nothing in the cross which the Father required, only that which Jesus so willingly gave and which he refused to avoid. If man cannot otherwise appreciate Jesus and understand the meaning of his bestowal on earth, he can at least comprehend the fellowship of his mortal sufferings. No man can ever fear that the Creator does not know the nature or extent of his temporal afflictions. We know that the death on the cross was not to effect man's reconciliation to God, but to stimulate man's realization of the Father's eternal love and his Son's unending mercy, and to broadcast these universal truths to a whole universe.